Good evening, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for December 16th, 2024. We are in the Hebraic calendar month of Kislev. So Kislev 15, 5785. So we're going to start the call off with the blowing of the shofar and the singing of the Aaronic blessing. So, Sally, the floor is yours.
Yahareh Karanai Barishmareka Yaher Adonai Panavileka Bihuneka Isa Adonai Panavileka Vashemlaka Shalom. May Adonai bless you and keep you. May Adonai make his face shine on you and show you his favor. May Adonai lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom, the authority over all chaos, especially over Trump and the military. Shalom, the price is paid. The ransom is paid. You are free.
Hallelujah. Wow, what a nice start. Thank you so much, Sally. So you know, Matthew Westrich, that you are the one who's tapped to close with a song. It so sounded to me like Sally's song was a very synchronous with some of the songs you pray in the Spirit. So I'm giving you warning, you can close the call with a song. All right?
Okay.
All right. You know, we're in the Gregorian calendar. We're in the Christmas season, and I want to read you a very lovely newsletter I received from Bible Couriers International. And it says, "Dear BCI family, following is a Christmas story that is happening as you read this letter. But first, a little history." When our Bible Couriers International team was in Cuba a few months ago, delivering Bibles, our main guide and contact, she goes by ML for security reasons, asked us if she could visit us in America this Christmas season. This was the first time in almost 20 years she had made such a request. When asked why now, she said that the new president of Cuba was so against Christianity that he has severely restricted bus service, electricity, food, and people gathering in groups during the Christmas season. ML told us these restrictions made it possible for her and most Cubans to be with their families during such a perilous time of year, a precious time of year. When asked what she had done in the past and would do in the future, she said, "Just sit at home alone and cry the whole season." ML arrived last night in our home in El Paso, which is all decorated for Christmas. This visit is her first time in America. She is like a child discovering her first Christmas, its real meaning, and the freedom to celebrate our Savior openly. She arrived with only the clothes on her back and a handful of bookmarks the Cuban Christians made for those of you who have helped Cubans receive Bibles in the past. A photo of ML is enclosed so you can see who you have prayed for all these years. We, along with Christians in Cuba, Vietnam, North Korea, and China, want to wish you a blessed Christmas and thank you for your Bibles. So I received a photo of ML and one of the little bookmarks that she brought from the folks in Cuba. And it's, I wish I could show you, but it's a parallelogram piece of paper with a piece of ribbon glued to it with the scripture in Spanish, Mateo 5:13. And Mateo 5:13, for those of you who are familiar, is all about salt. So let me read it for you. I had it open and I changed my mark. Here we go. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown and trampled under foot by men. This lady has been, the way that deliveries are made in foreign countries is they don't have cell phones, they don't have contacts, they don't have, well, they have contacts, but it's all done by word of mouth. And they arrive at the airport with suitcases filled with Bibles, and they pray over them. They pray for a cloak of a protection, of invisibility, that the Holy Spirit protects the load and allows them to get through customs and inspection without hindrance. And one of the gals who went down one year, she said to me, she says, I had my suitcase filled with Bibles, and I prayed that the customs wouldn't see me and wouldn't stop me and confiscate the Bibles. So she gets up to the customs there, and she sees a woman in the distance, a customs agent woman in the distance, and she's drawn to it. And the Holy Spirit says, go to her. So she goes to her, and the lady says to her, well, what are you waiting for? Come on, get through. Come on, off you go. And she had her bags there, and she was able to walk straight through customs. This lady was like an angel, and she was able to bring the Bibles into Cuba. They had their contact person pick them up. They would, I'm not sure whether they, I'm trying to remember the way the stories are recounted, where they went to their hotel room first, but somebody came in a van or something, very in nondescript or whatever. They would get in the van and they would just drive. They would drive into the jungles, drive into the countryside, and they would stop at a house. And there was, at one of the houses they say they stopped at, there was a lady there. And they just got like a sense that God had his hand on this woman. So they stopped and she asked what they were doing. And she says, oh, they said, oh, well, we bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she says, oh, I'm a witch. She says, I do black magic and witchcraft and all this stuff. So they prayed with this lady. She became converted. Her daughter became converted. And now they are key instruments in the spreading of Bibles through Cuba. And just story after story of these types of miracles. So they would go, they wouldn't even know, to when they started this process 20 years ago, they didn't even know how they were going to establish it. And they have home churches. It's all very hidden. It's not open at all like it is in America. And so just the thrill of seeing the work grow over the years, and for this lady to be bold enough to say, Our leadership is even worse now than ever in Cuba. Can I come over and hang out with you for Christmas? it's just, you know, it's just really, for me, it's a really heartwarming story. So I want to, you know, I'm going to start by challenging us with something here tonight before I go into the things that God's put in my heart. We call this the Republic Prayer Call. I took it over, I don't know, 4 months, 5 months ago. I'm not sure actually how long ago it was. But the prior chaplain, God called him to do something else. He's also had some health challenges. But he has been very steadfast with John Rockwell, with Bruce and Linda Dietler, and a team of folks to put together the Hebraic calendar each month for the last 5 years. And that has been the core of the prayer call. Really, it's been it seems to be more of a teaching call and a prophetic call than per se a prayer call. And so Wade and I are friends. We go back a long ways. I am not as steeped in the Hebraic traditions that Wade is and that the prayer call has been. But I've continued it on to get a feel and a sense of what's God actually doing amongst us. And in actual fact, how does this shoe fit with the calling that God's put on my heart and on the invitation from the president for me to steward and shepherd this call? And, you know, in the last few weeks, you know, we've had some reports of what's happening around the world, the week that was. And I've fielded the opportunity for folks to pray into some of the circumstances that are going on. And I haven't seen it be a natural flow for us. I haven't seen it be just like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what we're called into. So let me start by sharing with you my personal journey as far as prayer and intercession. I was raised a devout Catholic. We as a family would pray the rosary every night on our knees in the living room till I was probably 14 or 15. I'm one of 9 children. And, you know, they say that the family that prays together stays together. I believe that was true for us. I really do. We moved to a new country. Things kind of fell apart in a lot of ways. Just the cultural change was a huge impact to the family. But so was the, you know, maybe because we were getting to be teenagers or whatever, the whole idea of getting together as a family and praying the rosary became it didn't hold together as much. All right, so that's my youth. Later in my young adulthood, I followed different paths. I've said it before on previous calls. I followed Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism, Judaism. I was actually, when I was freed up from the Catholic Church, I started to go to Protestant churches. So I saw what the Baptists and the Episcopals and the Lutherans and all of the different groups, how they worship God. And that was different than how we Catholics worship God. But I also got into New Age, the teachings of the Ascended Masters, the power of the spoken word. And I'm telling you this because the ritual in the community that I was part of, we would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, we would pray till 7 o'clock, and we'd go to breakfast, and then we'd go off to work in the fields or work in the construction or whatever, you know, your assignment was. I was part of a community of 1,000 to 1,500 people, over 33,000 acres up in Montana. And then on Friday night and Saturday night, we'd have prayer vigils. So for Saturday night would start at 5 o'clock, and we would pray through till probably 11 o'clock each night. Well, you know, at the time, I thought I was really doing God's will. I thought I was really out there saving the planet, saving the world, praying for praying against nuclear war and stuff that was shaping up at that time between India and Pakistan. But one day when God called me back to the foot of the cross to real Bible-based Christianity, I realized I'd been praying to all of these false gods, all of these ascended beings, all of these beings of light who were supposedly helping us here and on the planet to do God's will, to perfect who we are and to ascend to God, you know? So it was kind of a perverted journey in Christ. I say perverted because it was self-effort. It was not Jesus wasn't the door. It's like, oh yeah, he's a master, but he's not the master. And I'm telling you all of this to share that when it comes for me to put my heart and soul behind prayers and declarations to break demonic strongholds and to protect nations that are being persecuted and protect children who are being abused and subject to pedophilia, my fiery prayer journey has been perverted by these ascended master prayers that we did. So I share that with you transparently to say, I don't know how capable and comfortable I am to lead you all in intercessory prayer because of the what God I feel is still healing in my journey with him. So I don't mean it as an excuse. I mean it as a transparency to say, God's given me the stewardship of this call. It's a prayer call, and yet I haven't noticed that we organically really intercede in prayer. And so then I have to ask myself, and I'm going to ask you tonight, and that's why I'm setting the table like this, what do you see this call doing for you, for the Republic, for the issues that are of grave concern that we have across the planet? And do you come to this call fully expecting to pray and intercede and be a prayer warrior in the Republic? Or do you come to the call for nourishment, for counsel, for insights, for a new perspective on your journey and your personal walk in Christ? So with that tone, as we go through the call tonight, I would like you to feel free to share or intercede in prayer, and let's see authentically as we step into the new year what is the right makeup for this call, what ministers to each of you the most, and how we can take this and really do what God tells us to do, and that is go and make disciples of all nations. And we are in the business of re-inhabiting our nation, of bringing our nation back into the umbrella of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the biblical underpinning of our nation. Our nation has fallen seriously away from that. And so the calling that we have as a government body is to go and make disciples. Well, we have to first make disciples of America and help Americans realize that we are a biblically based nation, that Jesus is at the helm of this republic. And then there are so many other nations around the world who look to us for hope, who look to us for the structure of government, which is not perverted by the globalists, by the those who are the totalitarians, who are the monarchs, those are the oligarchs, those who want to try to keep the people under domination. And I believe that the form of government that we are birthing, properly expressed, is exactly the life that Jesus calls us to live in community. God has had me in 2 Peter for a long time. I'm going to start the next section here with fruitful growth in the faith. If you want to follow along, I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Let's start in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. wireless caller out of Denver or 303. I'm going to mute you here. Faithful growth in the faith. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I read that passage and I get so excited. You know, a lot of our journey is trying. We're trying to overcome our addictions, we're trying to overcome our failings, we're trying to overcome whatever challenges we are walking in with our family, with our career, with our personalities. And what I love is it says, if you do these things, you will never stumble. So one of the disciples, Peter, tells us quite confidently that if you follow these steps of adding to your faith diligence, to diligence, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, you'll never be barren. It's like, and you won't trip and fall. It's like, for me, I just find that so exciting. It's like, okay, there's something I can do here. You know, I can list each of these steps, if you like, and I can say, well, what does it mean to live a life of virtue? What's it mean to add to virtue knowledge? You know, to me, it's go read Proverbs every day, you know? But to knowledge, add self-control. You know, it's like when a friend of mine, he's unfortunately found himself, he's in the Republic, but he's found himself in jail for his temper. And he knows that he needs to rein it in. But it's like, you know, that self-control, some of us need greater restraints to practice good self-control. And he has a golden opportunity right now to exercise self-control within the confines of the prison system. Now, you know, are we more attentive in our journey and our walk in Christ to go, you know what, I'm out of control there. I got to rein it in. Jesus, thank you that you have the ability to work in my heart, to transform me, to renew my mind, and to help me see things in perspective, that I don't let my emotions get out of control and my anger get out of control where I self-sabotage my journey in you. And of course, you know, self-control is great. So you get it one time and then you got to keep persevering, you know, whether it's with a failing like that or just the fact that you feel that God has called you to birth something. Maybe you're called to birth a ministry or you're called to you see something coming in terms of a financial breakthrough or either a ministry breakthrough, a family breakthrough. And it's like, oh, come on, I can feel it coming, Lord, but it's taken so long. That whole sense of recognizing that persevering is also sharpening us in who we are in Christ. And of course, brotherly kindness, you know, am I reflecting in all of my relationships, he who's in me? Am I reflecting me and all of my own quirks and attempts to have life my way? Or am I living a surrendered life to allow Jesus to live through me and to reflect that kindness? Because it is his kindness that leads each of us to repentance. You know, there's a lot of folks who don't trust this Jesus. They don't trust this goodness of Christianity. They don't trust the too good to be true news that a relationship with Jesus is. And if you and I don't model it to them, how the heck are they going to get it? How are they going to get it if they can't see Jesus with skin on? So I really like this scripture. God's really been working it in and through me for some time now. And I'll just leave it there. Brother Bruce, we are stepping into the week that was. We're stepping out of, should I say, the week that was. And if you would, brother, to whatever degree you're led, share your email thoughts. But the floor is yours, sir.
Well, okay. Thank you, Brother Robert. And I would say that the Lord is doing a good work in your life and through your life based on the scriptures you just shared. I have a whole lot of stuff to share from this week, and there are some things that I did not include in this, which some might consider as important, but at some point, when you're 5 pages long, enough is enough.
just before you start, Bruce, you know, we could put in a request to the New American Standard Version to put in one more chapter, and we could call it the Book of Bruce, and, you know, the week that was.
Let's not do that. I'd be happy to pass this opportunity on to some other good person. But at any rate, let me say, today, most recently, there was a mass shooting took place at a Christian school in Madison, Wisconsin. 3 people killed, including the perpetrator, who was a 17-year-old girl. According to CNN, this shooting is at least the 83rd school shooting in the U.S. this year. Seems incredible, but that's what they said. Also today, Canadian finance minister resigned just 2 hours before she was to give the fall economic statement. In her resignation letter, she absolutely blasted Trudeau's leadership, his fiscal irresponsibility for financial gain, for political gain, rather. And her deputy then resigned as well. Multiple members of parliament are now demanding Trudeau's resignation. And it appears that the giants are beginning to fall in Canada. So glory to God for that. Big news in America this last week, as it was last week and probably the week before that, is the drones that have continued to plague the New York, New Jersey areas this past week, now being seen all over the U.S. military bases and other nations as well. Homeland Security has assured the American people that, quote, we're on it. However, in spite of the fact that they profess they have no knowledge where they're coming from, who is sending them, we are not to worry because, quote, they present no security problem. Trump has called for either full disclosure or shoot them down. It should be noted that car-sized drones would likely not be employed by civilians as they are prohibitively expensive and require extensive permits. Some have speculated there may be an agenda to get legislation like a new Patriot Act passed in the near future. Current phenomenon may be a ploy or a false flag to get traction on legislation that is in the works, which would further restrict or ban civilian ownership of drones. Current legislation on drones expires very shortly, and so this is ongoing now in Congress about how to strengthen the laws against individual drones. In Syria, the rebel leader who has led this whole thing called on Israel for stronger actions against Iran-backed militias and proposed peaceful relations post-Assad with Israel. It has been said that the rebels seek political support from Israel and envision a democratic, secular Syria that respects Kurdish rights. However, there are also reports that Syria's new leadership has already declared Sharia law and is rounding up Christians for persecution. So I don't know who you believe, but it remains to be seen the direction this leadership is going in. The Syrian government has now ordered Palestinian terrorist groups to shut down their offices, hand over their weapons, dismantle their training camps, and leave Syria as soon as possible. The primary Palestinian group active in Syria has been Islamic Jihad. Since the fall of the Syrian regime, Israel has been busy. They have conducted massive airstrikes against all Syrian military facilities to destroy any possibility of future military action from that nation. By Wednesday, which is the last time I've got a count, by Wednesday evening, they had attacked 1,400 targets in Syria, destroying all chemical weapons facilities, all missiles, all Air Force, which includes aircrafts and helicopters, all Navy, which includes ships and submarines, and all anti-aircraft systems. Hamas in Gaza has reportedly agreed to yield to two of Israel's key demands for a ceasefire in Gaza, including allowing the IDF to remain in Gaza temporarily during the pause in fighting, according to Wall Street Journal. Hamas also has handed over a list of hostages to Israel. A Palestinian group active in Syria has been, the U.S. citizens, something it has not previously done, so including the U.S. citizens. The hostages, according to the report, would be released under a ceasefire pact should it be reached. Pfizer whistleblower in the U.S. this week released internal documents from the company showing over 158,000 reports of serious adverse reactions known by Pfizer within the first 2 months of the release of their COVID vaccine in 2020. 158,000 serious adverse reactions. On a similar medical note, it was noted this week also in one report that the United States represents just 4% of the world's population. It produces 70% of the world's pharma profits, and though we rank 60th in global life expectancy. So reconcile those figures. Meanwhile, the Biden administration has extended the emergency declaration for COVID-19 through 2029 in an effort to prevent liability for mRNA COVID vaccine manufacturers during President Trump's second term in office. It is very likely that Robert F. Kennedy would begin releasing information regarding the lack of safety and efficacy of these jabs, and so lawsuits would likely follow. Biden administration also gave Iran $10 billion in sanction relief days after Donald Trump won the 2024 presidential election, despite Iran's ongoing attacks against Israel and support for terrorist organizations. The sanctions waiver also came just days after United Nations determined that Iran was able to give the Houthi rebels in Yemen, quote, unprecedented support after the Biden administration had previously waived $6 billion in sanctions on Iran. Biden has also been busy using his final weeks to haul a massive amount of border wall materials away from the southern border to be sold off in a government auction in another apparent effort to hinder President Trump's efforts, in this case, to secure the border. It is estimated that up to a half a mile per day of unused border wall is being moved with the goal to move it all off the border before Christmas. The wall section panels are being offered on a government auction website at scrap at a starting bid of $5 each. However, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says the state of Texas is prepared to buy up all the border wall segments the Biden administration is auctioning off and will donate them back to Trump. He has $1 billion in his pocket to work with for that project. A federal judge in North Dakota on Monday rejected a Biden administration policy to allow Dreamers, the illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. illegally as children, rejected the policy to allow them to enroll for health care through Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach led the lawsuit against the administration and called the ruling a big win for the rule of law. He had been joined by 18 other states in the lawsuit to prevent their enrollment in Obamacare. Now, there is a bill making its way through Iraq's parliament, which would lower the age of consent for young girls in the country from 18 to 9, with, quote, fundamentalist Islam being the motivating force for seeking the legislative initiative. This is common throughout the fundamentalist Islamic world, the report said. Basically, Muhammad had numerous wives. He married his favorite wife at 9 years old, and they are voting with their faith and saying, if Muhammad did it, and this is the way they view it. They look at Muhammad like we look at Jesus. So if he did it, it's right and just and from God. China this week deployed 90 naval and Coast Guard ships and 47 military aircraft immediately near Taiwan. This is the largest Chinese military presence in decades, and Taiwan has raised its alert level as it said Chinese vessels were massing in the area. This may be it for Taiwan in the near future. Here's a good one. U.S. Department of Defense is currently, quote, dealing with climate change as a security concern for Africans. Paraguay on Thursday became the sixth nation to move its embassy to Jerusalem. In December 2017, under Donald Trump, U.S. was the first nation to move the embassy and to recognize the city as Israel's capital. Other countries, the list is interesting. Other countries' embassies in Jerusalem include Guatemala, Honduras, Kosovo, and Papua New Guinea. Okay, so much for the world news, the good news of the week that was. During a recent Truth Social video broadcast, President Trump gave glory to God and stated that we as a nation must bring Christianity back into our lives, and he reminded people that our hope is not in politicians or the government, but in God. Other good news. Since 1990 in the U.S., 2 out of 3 U.S. abortion facilities have been closed. Another good news, the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Agreement, has been passed by the House of Representatives with provisions that will, quote, refocus on military lethality, not radical woke ideology. According to Speaker Mike Johnson, this legislation permanently bans transgender medical treatment for minors of service personnel, prohibits teaching, training, or promotion of critical race theory in military academies, ends the DEI bureaucracy, and combats anti-Semitism. Among other important provisions, the new NDAA also abolishes climate change programs. 124 Democrats voted against the act. Now, I've got 4 prayer targets to read to you. Actually, they're short prophetic words from different individuals that all have a common thread that I thought were important for this hour. First one is from Lana Vosser from Australia. And the Lord said, I say unto you, my people, look not to the whirlwinds or distractions. Lower your head between your knees like Elijah did, and remain in focused intercession on what I am speaking, the strategies I am releasing, and keep your eyes firmly focused on me. I say unto you that as you continue to lift up your head to where your help comes from, and you continue to keep your eyes firmly fixed upon me, and you continue to stand upon the strategies that I am speaking and releasing in this hour, you are not only ascending into a greater realm of sitting in my counsel through your understanding of what I am speaking, but you are moving into a season of being the most solidified in my strategies. Not only am I solidifying my strategies within your lives with such clarity and confirmation, I am bringing forth a solidifying within you as I work deeply within your hearts to remain steadfast, standing upon the strategies that I am speaking in this hour. Second word is from Nate. Second word is from Nate Johnston from, he's in Dallas, I believe. No, excuse me, he's in Colorado Springs at this point. This is a word for the church. The Lord says, we are leaving the area of the religious institution and stepping into a return to Acts 2, or Act 2, as I like to think of it. In Act 1, man's ways prevailed and were championed, but now in the second act, the Holy Spirit's ways will come back to the forefront. This is a shift from man-made systems, traditions, and programs to a spirit-filled, spirit-led church rooted in devotion to God, unity among believers, and supernatural power. In this new era, the church will no longer rely on charisma, methods, or structures built by human hands. Instead, we will embrace the simplicity and purity of the gospel, the centrality of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a call to lay aside the old ways of striving and performance and step into the freedom and joy of living as a true Acts 2 community, a people united, walking in God's power, carrying His presence into the world. This is where we are headed. The church is being recalibrated, realigned, and rebuilt according to God's design. The old towers of man are being replaced by the humble and lowly move of God's nameless and faceless. Let us embrace this moment and surrender fully to the process, trusting that God is leading us back to His original blueprint. And I think of that in terms of republic as well, back to His original blueprint for this nation. A word from Julie Green from this week. My children, stand praying. You still have snakes and wolves in your capital. Some are trying to come in disguised as part of President Trump's new administration. You have the power in this hour to shout them out. I told you to hold the line because your enemies will not give up without a fight. So fight back with my words. Call them all to be exposed. Call them all to fall. Call them all to be removed. Continue to pray for my David to have the right people by him. There are some by him that are not there for the right reason, not just politically, but spiritually too. So stand in prayer for your leaders. Stand in prayer for the spiritual awakening in this nation and for what it really needs, which is for my glory to fall over this nation and over the true leaders of this country. And the last brief word from Travis Coffey from today regarding the drones, he says, pay attention, but not too much. Keep your eyes focused on me and realize you will see, what you will see rather, will only get weirder and more complex. Not a time to fear, but a time to press in. So, Father, we press in right now in the name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. We thank you, Father God, that He is Lord of our lives. We call Him Lord of this nation, And I thank you, Father God, you have ministering angels that we send forth right now to do the works that you've called us to do. Father, we release them, Lord, to tear down principalities and powers and rulers of darkness over this nation. Father God, we release your anointing to break bondages, Father, off of your body, your church, your ecclesia, your intercessors, those who desire to draw near unto you, Father God, that you would lift them up, Father, you would encourage their hearts that, yes, they have the ability, they have the anointing to pray and tear down these strongholds themselves. Father, I thank you for equipping your body for the work that you would desire in this hour. We thank you, Father God, that you're protecting President Trump and his cabinet nominees as, Lord, they go forth in the process to confirmation, that you protect Trump and his family, Father, from every and any attack of the enemy that would come against him. Father, I thank you that the Supreme Court justices, all legal system in America is conforming to your word to judge righteous judgment and bring forth your judgment in the land, Father God. Father, we thank you that the seven mountains of society are being taken back by the body of Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, into your kingdom, Father God, on this earth as it is in heaven. Father, that the world has held them captive and had us captive underneath them for all these years. And Father, we declare that the body of Christ is now taking back the mountains of family, religion, education, media, arts and entertainment, business and government, for the honor and glory of the Most High God, that you would have the preeminence in this nation. Father, we thank you for exposure and elimination of government corruption in every area, Father God. Don't let it go under the carpet, Father God. Let it see the light of day that it might be exposed and cast out. Give the House of Representatives, who is responsible for the budget, the unction, let me say it that way, to hold the line on the finances, to not allow obscene things to come forth, to not allow programs that would be against your will to be birthed in this nation and moved on to the Senate for confirmation. I thank you, Father God, that your ecclesia is arising, the Esthers are arising, the Jehus are arising and taking back this land in every area of life. We thank you for the restoration of your republic with God's design, not that of man. Father God, that your people would have the preeminence in each of the state republics, Father God, and that your plan would come forth with your great glory and purpose. Father God, we pray for the chaos among the nations, Lord, that you would have the rule over each one of the nations, Lord. You would bind Satan from stealing, killing, or destroying, Father God, in each of the nations, Lord, and call them into your fold that they might have a realization, a revival, a coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, individually and as a nation, Father God. Again, we thank you, Father, that your strategies for the days ahead are sure and true and settled forever in heaven, are working through your people who will yield themselves to your will and your way, Father, in Yeshua's mighty name. And, Father, we pray for the victims at the Wisconsin school shooting today, the families of all involved, including the family of the shooter, Father God, that they might come to you, Father God, and Lord God, that you would do a mighty work to heal that city, that state, to heal those who have been desperately wounded physically, emotionally, and spiritually through all of the chaos of this day. We thank you, Father. You are God. You are the great and mighty God, Father. You rule and you reign in this earth, in and through our lives, and we give you the glory and the power and the praise in Yeshua's precious and holy name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Bruce. Wow, powerful. I'm gonna open up the call, and I give you all the opportunity to pray into the issues that Bruce has brought on the week that was. Simply give your name and pray.
This is Mark Finer. I'd like to pray into that, please.
Go.
All right. Yahweh, our Creator and Father, thank you for providing everything we need to survive and thrive during this time of Babel and illusion that is being used in the world. We are thankful for being chosen to live in a time such as this, when so many prophecies are being fulfilled, a time when the prophets of old themselves wanted to see and experience for themselves the mighty power of you, Father, as your words come to fruition, a time when your bruisers go forth boldly and call down all ungodly acts with your words. So it is written in Jude 11, verse 11, woe upon them, for they follow the example of Cain, who killed his brother, and like Balaam, they will do anything for money. And like Korah, they have disobeyed God and will die under his curse. End quote. And so, Father, we speak your words boldly against the dark illusionists that the curtain has been drawn back to show, and the deception of power and perversion of responsibility that has gone on for far too long. And by the stripes and blood of Yeshua, we are healed of this corporate deception and actors that never was meant to be anything more than temporary during the Lincoln presidency. And not only that, Father, we further decree and declare that all evil will be defeated by your elect, by the blood of the Lamb, Yeshua, and the testimony of the Word by the saints, and with the vengeance of the Lord, exactly as written in Deuteronomy 32 and Revelation. We give thanks for so many patriots who have shed blood and given their lives to keep the fires of freedom burning. We give thanks for all those who have stayed faithful to you and your word no matter what, Father. We know that they are safe with you once again. Watch over us, Father. Put a dome of protection on us, our true leaders, our family, and our friends so the enemy cannot penetrate. Send your holy angels to camp round about us and be ready to war in the spirit for us. Cover us with the blood of Yeshua, because nothing can defeat the blood, God. We are covered by the blood, healed by the blood, saved by the blood, and no devil can defeat the blood of Yeshua. So God save the Republic, God save the children, and in Yeshua's name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Anyone else want to pray into the week that was?
Yeah, this is Mark Carroll. So, Father God, we give thanks, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy, God. We give thanks that you are on the throne, that you are sovereign, that your plans will not be thwarted, God. Want to lift up the children, God, in schools across this nation, across the world, God. And we pray against the schemes of the enemy, God. We pray that your love and grace would abound and the knowledge of your love for them, God. We pray against this rash of violence and destruction, God. And we pray that we lift teachers up. I have teachers in my family, many we know. And so lift them up to you, God. Help them to be bold. Help them to live and walk out their faith within the school system, God, and share your love, the truth, God, as these young ones seek truth, God, seek you, God. We pray against acts of violence, God. We ask you, we dispatch warring angels in Jesus' name to thwart these schemes, God. And we pray for policies, God, and school boards, God, to make righteous decisions, to stand on the truth, God, that these young ones are knit together in their mother's wombs by you, God, and that you love them and you have plans for them, God, and it is to walk in truth and righteousness through your Son, Jesus. And God, we lift up parents, God, that they would stand up and be deliberate about the education of their children, about the raising of their children, God. We know it's difficult, God. We ask, God, that you would help these parents, God, to get into your word, to get involved in the body of Christ, God, to get involved in the rearing and the educating of their children, God. We know many are homeschooling, so we lift them up to you, God. We know it's difficult, but help parents, God, to take their responsibility seriously, God. We lift up prodigals, God, and we ask that you would help them to find their way back to you. We pray, God, my sons included, God, that you would hound them, God, that you would pursue them, God, the love that you have for them, that they would remember your word says to raise them up in the way that they should go so that when they're older, they won't depart from it. And so we pray a return to their first love, Jesus, God, and we pray, we call them home in Jesus' name. We pray, lift up other parents. I know many, God, that are warring for their children, God, and praying for their return to you. God, give them strength, God. Give us strength. Encourage us. You continue to remind us that you are a good, good Father. You are a perfect Father, and that you pursue us. You love us. You're waiting with open arms, God. Help these children to remember that, God. So in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen. I'd like someone to pray into the exposure of Pfizer and the reports of the serious adverse reactions that have been published against the work that RFK is going to deploy in terms of exposing all of this these vaccinations. And also the issue of, I'm just looking at the things that Bruce talked about here over our own shores, and that is those who are surrounding President Trump, those who are coming into his cabinet to send angels in there to expose that which shouldn't be there. All right. If I've got no takers, I will take those towards. And then I'm going to call on you, Debbie, to give us your good news that's been bubbling inside of you for the last hour.
John.
So just one moment. Heavenly Father, I speak your life into the entire matter of our health care. Lord, you have given us out of your word in Genesis that you have given us the fruit of the trees, you've given us the leaves of the tree, you've given us very life itself as meat for our bodies. And yet we find our culture is surfeited in chemists who are out there making lotions and potions, pharmakia, to manipulate the genetics of the people of our nation. We speak against the pharmacopoeia. We speak against all the demonic that is in these organizations, in these companies. We call them to be exposed and collapsed. We release blessings upon R.F. Kennedy. We surround him with protection as he goes about his work. Lord, we send those who are not only in Secret Service, but those who are whistleblowers to come alongside him to expose the things that have been hidden by our government for years and years and years. Lord, we thank you that you are collapsing, you are bringing to light the absolute irresponsibility of Trudeau's government in the finances. Both of his finance minister and deputy have resigned. We thank you, Lord, that it floods in righteousness into our northern neighbor. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you come forth now and expose all of the psyops behind the whole sudden interest and exposure of UFOs and unidentified things in the skies and drones. And Lord, we thank you that you break the fear off the people that is being set up in this psyop to get us either conditioned for some major issue or to get us surrender more of our public wealth into research and development or defense against all of these aliens who are supposedly going to, you know, take us out one at a time. Lord, just expose the psyop, expose the deception, that we may hear with ears to hear, eyes to see, as we any media comes across our eyes, that we have the discernment to know what is a load of nonsense, a load of absolute manipulation, and to give us the attentiveness to keep our eyes, as Bruce said, on you, to keep our eyes on Jesus, to recognize that all forms of deception are upon us in this age, and we say no. We seek the way, the truth, and the life. We are covered in the blood of Jesus. Our families are covered in the blood of Jesus. Our young women are covered in the blood of Jesus. Our children are covered in the blood of Jesus. We reject in our culture all of the pedophilia, which is bringing in the inroads into Islam, which allows a child sex at young ages with both boys and girls. We reject it outright. We say no. Just as we say no to transgenderism, we say no in the name of Jesus to the defilement of our children and our youth. We call for our resources to be brought into bear at every level of city, social workers, police departments, sheriff's offices, communications, schools. We call for the exposure of the entire cartel, not just the cartel from south of the border, but the cartels within our within the Freemasonries, within the churches, within the across our nation that would collude to tear our children away from their families, to destroy relationships, destroy the innocence and the purity of our children. And we say, in the name of Jesus, this stops on our watch. In Jesus' name. Oh, boy. You know, I'm beginning to see with eyes I haven't seen before about this whole issue of the abuse of our children. It's just, it makes me cry. It is on so many, many levels, and it happened right under our noses. Praise God, there are some courageous folks who are going into the schools to teach teachers and teach classrooms of the areas of entrapment that these kids are being entrapped with through their apps on their phones and through all sorts of really sinister treachery. And it's happening right under our noses. And so it's like there's a force, a guard coming up to say, no, you guys need to understand how your children are being stolen from you. And you think, oh, no, I don't want to talk about sex to my kids. But if you're not, the neighbors run a tight ship at home, and they see it on their friend's phone. They see it in other ways. So we just pray for the courage to face it front on of our parents. Amen and hallelujah. So, Debbie Shark, you have been holding a good news message here for an hour and 5 minutes now. The floor is yours.
I thank you. As you know, our current president, Biden, pardoned approximately 15 people who had been on under house arrest during the COVID era. Well, amongst those, that 1,500 was one of ours. I was on the judicial call last night when we learned that our leader from the past, Timothy James Turner, was in Montgomery, Alabama today filling out the paperwork. By Friday, he should be a free man.
Yeehaw! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know if no one said I couldn't tell that, but Justice Waters was moved. Someone had been with him over the weekend, and I think it must have been the governor of Alabama. I don't remember the name, but I just think we should pray into all that works out for him, because that was a beautiful find amongst all those pardons.
If I must say, that was Daniel Reed from Louisiana, the governor. He was with James Tiffany Turner. I apologize. I yield.
Okay. Well, if you can tell more than I do, please add anything.
Well, before he adds to it, I'd like you to pray into it, Debbie, for his that for the protection of all of that, that all the pieces work out just like you have shared. So go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we in the Republic come before you in honor of someone who has led us in the past, who suffered greatly for things that never should have been put on his shoulders. But he was jailed and was taken out of that into house arrest, and he's been pardoned. We pray that you will shelter all of that around him, that it does continue to happen for him and for us. And as Justice Water, you could see him grinning in the phone when he said, and this man is going to become our attorney general. We pray for him and his family. I thank you, Father. Please be with him until everything is done in his name, on his behalf, in the name of my Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Debbie. Woo! That's good news. I didn't stay on the call long enough to hear that. I heard it in a different way from a different source. So, Mark Binder, go ahead and add what you will to her report.
Yes, sir. Well, James Stutzer has not been on the call as Attorney General for a while because he was threatened with a probation violation and stuff. But with that paperwork, in the very near future, if not already, he's going to have his ankle bracelet off, and he'll be on several calls, and you're going to get to hear it from himself, you know, the experience he went through and everything, and the direction he wants to go forward with the Republic, and what his role is going to be as Attorney General. And interestingly enough, he's going to be over the prison systems as Attorney General of the Republic. So praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. So this all came from a Biden pardon? Is that I did not hear that before.
Well, it was 1,500 people that were under house arrest, and all kinds of people are in that 1,500.
That's awesome. That's just absolutely awesome. All right. My goodness. Where are we? So on this call, for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, we take communion together. So if you can find yourself some juice or wine and some bread or crackers for the elements for communion, I'm going to invite John Underwood to have the floor to guide us in his thoughts and in communion.
Thank you, Brother Robert. So in Matthew 26, starting with verse 26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it, and he gave to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup and gave thanks and saying, 'Drink ye all of it.'" So let's finish that scripture after we partake of the bread. So let's partake. Thank you, Lord, for your body that was wounded and broken for us, Lord. Thank you for the healing that you provided for us through those stripes you took on your back. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, then, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. But I say unto you, I shall not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. So let's partake of the blood of Jesus now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, that you paid the price for our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. You redeemed us by your blood. Oh, we love you, Lord. Praise you, Jacob. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we just bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. You know, we are stepping into a absolutely thrilling, exciting transition time. I know many of you feel it. It's happening not only with the hope of new leadership and direction, radical, healthy change in direction in the leadership and government. But we see it in the reset. We see it in what's happening in our financial system. We see it birthing in what we sense God's calling us to. Some of you have humanitarian projects in your heart. Some of you have a sense that when things unleash and we are freed again to be all who we can be in Christ, that there's exciting stuff in the horizon. So this week, today on the calendar of Kislev, we have a prophecy from Rosangela Ate, and the title of her thoughts this evening are "Your Promises Are Maturing, Promises in Incubation." So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. That's out of the New Living Translation, Galatians 6:9. As I spent time with the Lord, I asked him, "Lord, when will your promises come to pass?" He said, "Rosangela, they will come to pass at the appointed time. They are incubating in me." Logically, I looked up the meaning of incubation, and this is what I found. Develop, to cause or aid the development of, from the Merriam-Webster. To develop slowly without showing any signs, out of the Oxford Learner. To keep something warm, causing it to develop, out of the Cambridge. Grow under conditions that promote development, from Land Geek. To keep something safe and warm so that it can grow, from vocabulary.com. I said, "Okay, Lord, what are you saying?" He replied, "Rosangela, according to your earthly mindset and measurement of time, it may appear as if the promise is being delayed, or that they are taking longer than they should. In my kingdom, time doesn't exist. I have created time for mankind, My kingdom operates according to my appointed times. Therefore, everything that I decree happens at the perfect time, not too late and not too early. Your job, as you wait for the promises and the visions to mature and come into their fullness, is to run with the visions, to do everything you can to not get discouraged, to hold fast and wait without doubting. Promises like a child in a womb, in the womb. Although a mother knows it will take 40 weeks for her child to be fully formed and strong enough to live outside her womb, she still feels as if the moment will never arrive. But then, suddenly, the water breaks and the child is born, and she forgets all about the time that passed and the pain she had to endure to finally hold the child in her arms. So it is with you. As you patiently and eagerly wait for those promises to come to pass, you may feel as if they will never come, as if I have forgotten about them, because you do not see any signs. But at the right time, at the appointed time, at the peak of their maturity, they shall be birthed. Trust me, child, because I am taking care of them. I am keeping them safe. I am watching over my word to perform it. In order for things to grow and to produce an abundant harvest, they need to mature. Your future is protected in me. I am the controlled environment in which everything that concerns you and your family is kept safe and secure. As long as you let me guide you, and as long as you obey me, you don't need to worry about anything. Promises like a seed in the soil. So don't grow weary in the waiting, my child. Keep doing what is good, and in due time you will reap the harvest of your faithfulness. I know it is hard for you to understand the concept of waiting, but it is in the waiting that things mature and develop. It is in the waiting that I prepare you for the harvest. Just like when a seed is planted, it needs time to grow. It needs to be watered. It needs sunlight. It needs to grow roots and anchor itself to the ground so that it has the strength to grow and develop upward and bring a harvest. You know it will eventually break through the soil and reveal itself at the right time. So it is with my promises. Write the vision and start running. Joseph had to wait and endure many trials before the dreams I gave him came to pass, before he could become a ruler. It is a necessary process that cannot be rushed. Therefore, wait and stand on guard. And once you see the signs, write the vision down and start running. Habakkuk 2:1-3 in the King James says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is not yet for an appointed time, that at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And she references Psalms 105:19, Jeremiah 1:12, 29:11, Isaiah 40:31, and 43:19, Numbers 23:19, and Deuteronomy 28:1-6. We have a new segment this evening, and I'm trying to remember what we're calling it, Governor Carpenter. I think we're calling it Praise Fishing Stories or something like that.
That's real conversation.
Please introduce it to us.
After our conversation, I was recognized that I got my point home, but, you know, I probably delivered it in a little off-fashion color, and because, you know, no no praise is small. You know, it's huge to the receiver. And so there is no fishing story when it comes to praise. And, no, Robert and I were talking about the praises of the week and how many praises there are out there. And we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, it's written in the good word that the Holy Spirit inhabits our praises. Well, why is that? That's because of the power of the spoken word. And we find ourselves in that time of spiritual warfare where we're here as a body tonight, in my opinion, because we possess or desire to possess that part of boot camp, if you will, that the Holy Spirit has us scheduled for. And this boot camp is imperative in the timing of things because we have to learn how to be what we say we are. And we can't say or be anything less than what Christ paid the price for. And he said it was finished on the cross. But there are little twists and turns in the power of the spoken word, the tongue, the ability to hear, that those who hear and see. You know, those all mean things in a relevant form in the spirit world, in this next dimension, this new kingdom, if you will, that's ruled and reigned by Christ that we represent. And so that's what we're all hungry for, in my opinion, is to sharpen those skills, to edify each other, to raise each other up. And tonight, I'd love to tell you the details. I can't. Sometimes I'm held to secrecy clauses, but it began Wednesday after, before Thanksgiving, and I started receiving wonderful reports from various, on various topics. And it all comes back to the source, and that's the Republic and where we're going as a world in our relationship as people and all of that. And things that we've been planting seeds and praying and waiting for decades are bursting forth, and we're seeing the evidence of new growth and of abundant fruit. And, well, we're in fourth down and 9/10 of an inch on the goal line from receiving everything that we've been asking for. And so there's a lot of praise involved in that short summation. Praise the Lord, because things like this don't get reported. They're not known. But they're felt, the ramifications are felt, and it's about a few of us have the calling, the ability to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to us, and to boldly step forward and be those men and women of valor. And I challenge each of us that's why each of us are here tonight, is in some way or form in our own personal walk, we bring that to the table. And it accumulated with a need for a lab tech and a lab that was controlled by the Republic and by the people that represent the Republic to be relocated or stood up in Knoxville, Tennessee, or in Hickory, South Carolina. That's where we have major influence in the operation to get things accomplished. So we put out the call on the leadership call on Wednesday evening before the call was over. Pennsylvania governor stood up and says, I think I got that contact. And by the beginning of this week, communications began to secure a private lab for ourselves that we can run water samples and get the truth as to what we're dealing with in behalf of the people down there. Because we found we can't trust the labs that had committed to running our samples previously for a truthful test. So, praise the Lord. It is so wonderful to live in a world full of praises, full of miracles. And each of us do, if we look for them. And I challenge you, be bold enough, step up, let the Holy Spirit speak and give Him glory and the chance to inhabit our praise and to bring forth our the power of our voices and the power of unity. And I plant that seed. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, there are so many seeds popping, just so many. Wish I had more time to recount some other stories, but I want to hear from some of you. So I open the line again. Larry, out of Michigan, what can you tell us? What's on your heart? What would you like to share? What praise report do you have? Well, you have to unmute yourself. I don't have you muted. All right, we'll move on. Tracy out of Park County, Colorado. What's God saying to you this evening? What praise reports do you carry?
Hi, Chaplain.
Hi.
I just got home from a really long work day, so I'm just absorbing at the moment. I love the repeated message that the Lord is giving, do not grow weary in doing good. Julie Green also focused on that. It was either this morning or yesterday morning, and I feel like that's a very pertinent and relevant message for the moment to just keep hanging in there and waiting upon the Lord. And knowing and trusting that in His faithfulness, He will come through for us. So I think that's about what I'll say.
Well, you know, you bring up Julie Green, so you bring up out of me a prophecy that she also gave recently about Colorado. And, you know, something that has been a theme over the last few weeks from the prophets has been the Republic. We had from Johnny Inlow,
yeah,
and we had it from where's the next one? The next one was from Barry Wunsch the next week, and then what Julie Green says, she wasn't referring to the Republic, but she was referring to Colorado, and she said, "You are you've got an exposure coming in Colorado," and it's like, all right, I'm excited. We had a report. After the elections, I don't know, for those of you who are not from Colorado, all of the machines that the votes are counted on in our state have a code, a password to access these machines. Well, the Secretary of State posted all of those codes on an Excel spreadsheet on the website for the Secretary of State for our state. It was discovered. And they said, oh, this is terrible. We're going to have an investigation. So they have an investigation from the company who is the attorney group for the machines. There's nothing to see here. Everything was fine. It was an inadvertent mistake. There's no danger, no foul. Everything's okay. But in future, we'll kind of create whatever it's going to be. So when they sent that out through, you know, the different channels of the news, and they sent it out through the Republican Party, We just went, oh, yeah, right. What a lie. Anyway, so I'm very excited knowing that this sort of hidden stuff is happening in our state. We have a super majority from the Democratic Party. We have so our state is just very ripe for being exposed. And it was just great for me to hear Julie Green say, Colorado, you can expect the Lord to expose something in your state. So praise the Lord.
Amen. I do have one more Julie Green to share with you, and it was last week, but I don't remember which day. And she said, "Thus saith the Lord, America, you will be a republic again."
Ooh.
And was just blown away when she spoke that. I was, hallelujah, praise God. Yes, we will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, technically, yes, we are, because each of us is doing that very thing. We're going about re-inhabiting our counties and our states. So, bless God. The prophets are hearing it. God's speaking it. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, yes, and amen.
Yes, and amen. Is there anyone
Robert,
else?
That's interesting. That's interesting. Because of conversations that I've had, I can't get into specifics, but, you know, it leads me to wonder if maybe part of that prophecy or that prophecy might not have been looked at another way also. And the Carpenter's Workshop Foundation is located in Colorado. And we definitely were part of the conversation at that level. So the Holy Spirit is working in a lot of ways.
Amen. I totally agree. Well, before we close it with a song in tongues from Matthew, does anybody else want to share something before anybody else want to share any praise? Something burning in your heart.
Hello, this is Antonia in Alaska Free State.
Well, hello, Governor Antonia.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to, I got on a couple minutes late, but I was hearing you share your maybe reservation to prayer and your question about, you know, what is it we'd like to see with this call and why we're on this call. And I just felt like I wanted to share with you some of what my own experience has been in my prayer time and journey is that God sees you and he knows your heart and there's no right or wrong way to pray. And when we come earnestly, like with our heart, and that's kind of the hard thing sometimes, especially when we're doing public prayer or, you know, prayer where other people are a part of hearing our prayer, is that we feel a little pressured sometimes, you know, until we've had a lot of practice at it. And then there's many different versions, you know, God hears your heart. It's not the words always that we speak, but again, it's just your heart. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And I enjoyed your prayer time. There's, you know, I don't judge anyone for what it is that they're saying. You know, I hear their heart too. And so I agreed with everything that everybody was saying in prayer tonight. And I just wanted to encourage you to continue, you know, to feel like you have a valid voice in prayer. And there's no, he can see past all of this indoctrination and all of that. And I wanted to encourage anybody anywhere in any faith in any religion that, you know, he's still all of our God. He's still our Father and, well, except them Satanists. But but it's our heart that he's looking at. And so I just wanted to share that. And to come to this on a Monday night is I'm getting a lot from it. I'm getting encouragement. I'm hearing just what's going on with, you know, other people in the Republic. I'm coming for maybe the chance to share something that's on my heart, but really tonight I just wanted to listen, but I didn't want to close it out without being able to say that. So I thank you guys for being here, and yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bless you. Awesome. Anyone else? Matthew, you have the floor, brother.
First of all, there's something I was waiting. There's a prophetic act that kept ringing in my spirit, and so do you mind if I do that prophetic act?
You have the floor, brother. Yep, you go ahead and do what you want.
Okay. It's I have to flush the toilet to flush down all that sewage in government. And and all the bad toxins in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
That's a great prophetic act, Matthew. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We stand with you, brother. That's absolutely true.
Yisero soyevo yeho lechon beshe yisero lechon hayo oisevo alechise echo rafi.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can come together as your body, that we can celebrate you, or two or three are gathered in your name, there you are, that your presence abides with us, broods with us, encourages us, strengthens us, directs us. Lord, I pray protection over every family who's on this call, everyone who's on the call, their close relatives and families as they we spend a time with family over the Christmas season. I pray supernatural blessings, Lord. I pray healing. I pray that your miracle healing is carried with each one of those on this call, that as they go into their family of origin or their extended families, that they release your healing by simply a hug, a touch, a prayer, a song, a fellowship with one another. Lord, I thank you and I bless James Timothy Turner. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have put your hand on this man for many, many, many years. We thank you, Lord, that he has been faithful to steward, to carry, to be patient, to be long-suffering through a long time in jail where you held him in check. Your power flows strongly in this man and your power, your Holy Spirit moves strongly in James Timothy Turner. We thank you that the shackles have been broken by the events of the outgoing government. However it is, Lord, your hand is moved, and we give you thanks and glory. We pray for his health, Lord. We pray for resurgence in his health and strength in his body. We pray for President James Buchanan Geiger. We thank you, Lord, for his patience. We thank you for his steadiness at the helm of the Republic through the dark days. We thank you, Lord, for those who are upholding the three branches of government, the executive branch, the judicial branch, and the legislative branch. We bless the House and the Senate. Lord, we thank you that you bring teachers and you bring a structure for us to effectively re-educate the American population, to re-educate those who are coming into the Republic, to know what it is that we have, what you've given us. Lord, we break off all of the nonsense of those who have infiltrated the halls of the corporation. We break off the hold of Islam and all of their hold into areas of defense. We break off the lies of the woke culture, of the satanic hold that it has on the woke culture of communism and Marxism. Lord, we speak your truth into the whole area of your people in Jerusalem. We call for the exposure of that which is true. Children of God, the Jewish tradition, those who are your kids, and those who are the liars, those who are the interlopers, those who have got nothing in them that is Jewish, those who are evil, those who say they are my people but are not. Lord, expose what's going on with this whole languaging of Zionism or anti-Zionism and the whole push of the Israeli government into all of these other cultures and all of these bombing and takeovers of whatever they are. Lord, you see, you know who are your people, you know who are not. Keep us free from the deception of the spin of the media. Give us eyes to see in the spirit what is really true and give us a check in our spirit when it is not so. Lord, with all of this stuff that's going on with these flying chitty chitty bang bang and love bugs that are up there in the sky, we speak your truth into this entire so-called invasion, all of this busyness in the sky. We call for the exposure of the psyops that are attempting to cause the public to be in fear so that they can do some other false flag. We just thank you, Lord, that you're way ahead of them. We give you praise and glory and honor tonight, Lord. We thank you for the good reports, and we look forward to more in the days and the weeks to come. We give you praise and glory and honor in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Alleluia. Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia.
Amen.